Grace and peace be multiplied unto you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. This morning, we direct our attention to the words of the prophet Isaiah, portion of our Old Testament lesson for today, the 53rd chapter, verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So far, the Holy Word. In the name of Jesus Christ, who came to be our great physician, dear fellow redeemed. Most of us, I think, are aware that doctors used to bleed people intentionally. Up to about 150 years ago, medical opinion held that you could benefit a person's health by intentionally wounding them and allowing them to bleed. Seems absurd to us now to think that you could heal someone by wounding them. Perhaps even more absurd would be the idea that you could heal one person by wounding someone else. Yet that very belief was held by some of the tribes native to North America. Among certain Indian tribes, the mother of the family would often intentionally wound herself in order to benefit someone, a loved one, a family member who was ill or was somehow in danger. She'd cut herself on the chest or arms or sometimes remove a portion of a finger, all in the effort to help one of her family members. Early European explorers would often find old Indian women whose arms were laced with scar tissue and who only had a few fingers left with which to carry out their work. It seems so tragic. The whole concept that you can heal one person by wounding someone else seems ignorant and superstitious to us modern-day Americans. We are familiar with the principles of modern medicine, of course. Yet for us Christians, this concept, incredible as it may seem, does hold true. In fact, our text for this morning makes clear that the healing you and I need the most can only come from the wounds of someone else. That someone, of course, is Jesus Christ. That's why our theme for this morning is the wounds that heal. Three things about them: they heal only the sick, they heal by substitution, and they heal completely. Hundreds of years before Christ came to earth, Isaiah predicted the advent of the Savior. God sent this prophet to the rebellious people of Judah to warn them about their sin and to urge them to repent. He said, "Repent of your sin and turn back to the Lord. See, he is sending you his servant, the Messiah. His wounds will heal you of all your iniquity." It was a noble message and a beautiful promise that God sent to the people through Isaiah. There was only one problem. The people refused to repent. They didn't acknowledge their sin. Consequently, of course, they didn't see any need for a savior from sin. And their sin multiplied all the more. The Lord wanted to heal them, but they weren't interested. "When I would have healed Israel," God said, "then the iniquity of Ephraim was uncovered and the wickedness of Samaria. For they have committed fraud. The thief comes in. A band of robbers takes spoil outside. They do not consider in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own deeds have surrounded them. They are before my face." Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you consulted a doctor? You usually do it when? When you're in need of medical attention. Many of us do the best we can to avoid doctors and hospitals otherwise. Well, today's text is a beautiful invitation, an invitation to find healing in the wounds of Jesus. But there's one thing we need to understand up front, and that is that the wounds of Christ heal only those who know that they're sick. Jesus once said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." The truth is, of course, that there isn't anybody in that first category. No one is righteous on their own. We're all of us sick with the disease of sin, a disease which, if left untreated, leads inevitably to eternal death. Now, if you want to, you can do what the Pharisee in the temple did. Stand there and pray thus with yourself, Lord, I thank you that I'm not as bad as other people are. But if you do that, you'll only be deceiving yourself. Pretending you haven't got the disease, that doesn't get you any closer to a cure. What we need is a visit to the doctor. We need to freely acknowledge our sins and come to the one great physician who has a cure. That's Jesus Christ. His wounds grant real healing, and they do it by substitution. If you remember your schoolwork studying the history of ancient Egypt, you may recall that the family of the great pharaohs did almost no manual labor themselves. They had servants to do their laundry, servants to open doors for them, even servants to be punished for them. It's true. When the son of the great Pharaoh was going around, he would always take with him a servant. And if the young prince did anything wrong, it was his servant who was substituted to receive the beating for him. I remember as a child thinking that that was a really good idea. I'm sure those of us who had a rather mischievous childhood would have loved to have had a handy servant standing by to take our spankings for us. In a far more serious way, though, however, the situation that Isaiah is describing in our text for today is exactly that situation. He tells us that the wounds of Christ heal, and they do it by substitution. We were the ones deserving punishment for our sins, but instead of punishing us, the Lord laid on Jesus our punishment. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. For every lustful thought that lingered on our minds, a welt was raised on the back of our Savior. For every hurtful word spoken to child or parent or co-worker or neighbor, a thorn pierced our Savior's brow. It was for every sinful deed that we've committed that the nails clanged home in his hands and feet, and the spear sliced his innocent body. 17 days from now, we will enter the season of Lent, and then we will take up in detail the subject of our Savior's passion and the wounds that he incurred on our behalf. The thought of those wounds is sobering. Sobering because we know that it's our sins that caused them, but it's also tremendously comforting. It's comforting when we realize that by acting as our substitute, Jesus brought us the healing that each of us so desperately needed, healing of the soul. If you're like me, there's probably many times when you felt like crying out with the psalmist, Lord, be merciful to me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. And we do not cry out in vain, for the Lord has heard our cry. He gave us his answer when he sent his only begotten Son into the world to be our substitute. The Bible says that at just the right time, Jesus, in God's plan of grace, was sent to us, as we read in Galatians. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Finally, we need to understand that Jesus didn't come to earth to bring us partial healing. Nowhere in Scripture does God say, now I have done my part to heal you, and it's up to you to do your part to effect a complete recovery. No, indeed. We'd be doomed to certain failure, in fact, if any part of our salvation rested with us, but it doesn't. Today, our Lord invites us to be healed from all our iniquities, and he offers us a comforting reminder, the wounds of Christ heal completely. That very word, healing, is a comforting word, isn't it? You know what it's like to recover from a painful illness or an injury in your body, to feel the sickness and the pain gradually ebb away day by day and be replaced by health and strength and healing. Then comes that wonderful morning when you wake up and feel for the first time refreshed and completely healthy once again. There's nothing like it. Or perhaps I should say there's almost nothing like it, because that's precisely what our Lord Jesus does for our souls. With his substitutionary sacrifice, Jesus wipes completely clean your record before God. Every sin has now been atoned for. Every transgression, every broken commandment, every offense you've ever committed against God has been paid for in full. Each time you come to him, humbly repenting your sins, asking his forgiveness, he heals you. Each day, whenever you ask him, he creates in you a clean heart and renews a right spirit within you. Each day is a new day with fresh horizons and new opportunities for you to serve the Savior who has healed you. You need never look back on the sins of your past, because your God, for Jesus' sake, has removed them, Scripture says, as far from you as the east is from the west. Because of Jesus' healing wounds, you can now stand before God completely clean and whole and healed. Thank God for those healing wounds. Thank God for sending your substitute, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, says Peter, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Over the years, many of our CLC churches have had the privilege of hosting the Emmanuel College Tour Choir on their annual circuit around the country. We were blessed to host a concert here last spring. It was so beautiful, it'd be hard for me to choose any song that was my favorite. I'm thinking now, though, about a song that the Tour Choir performed many years ago. A simple song sticks in my mind. It's called "Jesu, Grant Me This, I Pray." And it reminds us that the wounds of Jesus are like a shelter, a safe haven in which the weary sinner can rest himself securely. This morning's service will conclude with that song. The final stanza rings out with words of comfort that I hope each of us believers can join in praying. Death will come one day to me. Jesu, cast me not from thee. Dying, let me still abide in thy heart and wounded side. Amen. Please rise.